Here I go again. I hear those trumpets blow again, all aglow again, taking a chance on love. Here I slide again, about to take that ride again, starry-eyed again, taking a chance on love.
Barbara Ann Blakely first heard Frank Sinatra sing when she was 15 years old after she'd sneaked into a small town drive-in. Of course, there was no way she could have imagined then that one day she would meet him and even become his wife. Her marriage to the great singer lasted until the day he died. But it came after she had been a model, career woman, mother, and wife, which included a 12-year marriage to Zeppo Marx. In her new memoir, Lady Blue Eyes, My Life with Frank, Barbara shares some of the stories and photographs of her time with the man who was known variously as The Voice, the chairman of the board, and Old Blue Eyes. The book, which is co-written with Wendy Holden, is published by Crown Archetype, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Barbara Sinatra to our show. Hello.
Hello there. I'm so happy to be here.
In one of his most famous recordings, he bragged that he always did things his way. Was that the way he was in real life?
Sort of. Yeah, he did things his way.
You write in your introduction that you and Frank were both private people. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, beyond
you know,
some
chased,
of the...
Yeah, we were chased all the time, but basically we were very private, yes.
But you wrote a memoir, you broke that silence?
Well, he was going to write a book at one time, and then I guess he talked himself out of it or something, but he didn't write it, so I know he would back me in this. It's a love story. Mine is a love story. It's not a get-even book or anything like that.
So would his account of his life look similar to the one that you've written?
I don't know. You have to dig him up and ask him.
But I can't imagine Frank Sinatra being all that private a person. My sense of him was somebody who was always out in public as a superstar, as the leader of the Rat Pack, although you say he hated that name, and as someone who liked to pal around with members of the mob. No?
No, I don't. There are some colorful characters around him when we were in Vegas, but I never met anyone in the mob that I knew of.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to set the record straight about Frank? Because there was always
No, it's
rumors.
A love story. It's strictly a love story. It has nothing to do with the record or a family or anything like that. It's just, you know, we had a wonderful love story.
Well, you were his what? How many marriages had he had before?
One, two. I guess I was his third or fourth.
Uh-huh. So he, would they all have been love stories, or do you think that there was a special situation that occurred?
I don't know what the others were.
He never talked about?
No. No.
Mm. Well, that's always a good
and
policy,
I didn't want
but,
to hear.
You know, but, you know, when Ava and I went so-and-so.
Yeah, no, he never did that.
What was the town? I mentioned that you went to a drive-in in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you grow up?
I was born in Missouri, I guess you call it now, and lived there until I was 10. Then I moved to the big city, Wichita, Kansas.
So you were in a small town in Missouri, not
500
St. Louis. 500
population. And there was only one street, Main Street. And there were no signs on the houses or anything, no numbers, nothing.
So you just knew that...
Everybody knew where everybody lived.
That the Blakeneys lived here.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that was a reason you moved to Wichita, to get away from the...
No, the reason I moved was because of my mother. She put up such a fight to get out of Bosworth that she won.
Mm-hmm. She was bored.
Yes.
Was Frank Sinatra someone whose records your parents would have owned, played?
I don't ever remember them playing records a lot. They got with, I think it was Billy Graham. And we weren't allowed to go to movies or dances or anything. It was very quiet life.
But you were a bit of a rebel, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You write about how you and your sister were the perpetrators of the scandal of Bosworth.
Well, yes, we rode a pony into the soda fountain.
Uh-huh. And that's something that would have caused a big stir.
It did, yes.
So you moved to Wichita, but mm-hmm. then you moved again. The family moved again to California. Mm-hmm. Again, was Wichita too small?
No, my mother's family, sisters, moved to, they had husbands in the Second World War in the service, and they decided to live in Long Beach, California.
You went into modeling at an early age, and that's not the sort of career I would imagine the daughter of very religious parents would have gone into.
Well, it sort of varied. Sometimes they were very religious and sometimes not. But I was tall and skinny, and I felt I was built to be a model, and so I did have a nice, successful career.
And it was something you enjoyed doing?
Very much.
Because some people just hate the idea that they're always, you know, they're just expected to do what somebody tells them to do, and they have very little say in the matter.
I would say I had a lot of say.
So you say that since your early days at modeling school, you've had a lifetime desire to lose 2 pounds. That was the big thing that drove you?
Yeah, the girlfriend of mine in California kept saying, I wish you'd lose those stupid 2 pounds. I'm tired of hearing about it.
You remember The Devil Wears Prada, where one of the women says, I'm just one stomach flu away from my ideal weight?
Yes.
So you didn't think of going into acting or anything? You just wanted to do modeling?
Oh, no. I had a screen test and flunked. So I knew that wasn't for me. So that wasn't my fault.
And you never tried again. Frank started off as a singer, and he went into acting later and did pretty well.
I would say.
In 1948, you won a beauty contest. Didn't that lead you to meeting your first husband?
Yes, it did.
And who was he?
His name was Robert Harrison Oliver.
Bob Oliver. He was an aspiring singer?
Yes.
And ironically, didn't he tell you that he thought he sounded like Frank Sinatra?
Yes.
In retrospect, did he?
No.
But
no one sounds like Frank Sinatra.
Well, but when you think about all of the popular singers that followed Frank Sinatra, at least 2/3 of them based their style on him.
Oh, yes. I mean, wherever he went and wherever he performed, he had entertainers come to watch him to see what he was doing, to try to mimic some of the stuff, I guess.
And then they had the records. And there are still singers out there who try to sound like Frank Sinatra. But Bob Oliver proposed to you on the first date.
Yes.
Did you have any sense that he was bad news from the start?
No, I didn't. I was young and dumb.
So you married him?
Yes.
Despite the fact that he was obviously trouble. Somebody else might have noticed that.
No one I knew.
So nobody gave you any warnings. And then you moved to New York?
Yes, briefly. And that's where I got pregnant with my son. And then we came back. But he always wanted to be a performer. And I don't think he ever really made it.
So you really were the breadwinner in this family.
Yes.
And you, when you came here, you got one of your first really big modeling breaks here? On a cruise line?
Yes, on the Furnace Lines. And it was for Good Housekeeping magazine. And two of the top female models in New York at the time, Lily Carlson and Marilyn Ambrose went with us. And then there was a male model and a photographer and his assistant.
And there was a senator on the boat.
Well, yes, he came on the boat.
So you met President Kennedy in Palm Springs 10 years later when you were Barbara Marx. Remembering how he came on to you on the boat, was that awkward?
No, he didn't even remember me. No.
But what happened?
Well, what happened is he was on a yacht sailing around Nassau and Bermuda, and he met the female models, and he decided he wanted to jump the yacht and get onto our ship and go home on that, which is what he did. But he didn't have any clothes with him, so he couldn't go to dinner because you had to wear a black tie at dinner.
In those days.
Yeah.
Today, probably on a cruise ship, probably go in your flip-flops.
Flip-flops and holy jeans. But anyway, he was charming and very nice, and the girls all were very impressed with him.
Well, he did come on to an awful lot of different women.
Oh, yes. That, he was a
Edie
big flirt.
Edie Adams told me she thought she was the first blonde who turned him down.
Edie Adams was nice.
So there you were on the ship, and you had terrible seasickness, mm-hmm. and you thought that it was seasickness, but as you said, it turned out you were pregnant.
Probably about pregnancy, yeah.
And Bob blamed you for it.
That's just the type of character he was.
So you couldn't model. You were the main breadwinner in your marriage. What did you do to keep working?
I opened a charm school, a modeling and charm school in Long Beach.
And
I learned a lot when I went to New York and worked with those professional models. It was different than California modeling. And so that's one of the things I featured in the modeling school.
That you're going to teach people how to do it the New York way.
Yes, more professional.
And then you also developed your own cosmetics line?
Mm-hmm, Miss Universe line.
And I guess that sense of independence allowed you to divorce Bob Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
Then eventually you ended up in Las Vegas working as a showgirl.
That's right.
So had you wanted to be in show business? I know you said you tried acting for a while.
And I was a terrible failure. And not necessarily. That was never my goal. I always thought I would be a model.
Mm-hmm. But there you were, a showgirl. And Frank, he spent a lot of time in Las Vegas. Was he there?
I never met him there.
But you did meet your second husband in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a bit about that? He was the youngest of the Marx brothers, but wasn't Zeppo a lot older than you?
Yes, he was. But it wasn't at first. It was later when he aged, and I didn't, I guess, or didn't age that much.
Did you call him Zeppo or did you call him Herbert?
No, Zeppo.
Really? Mm-hmm. Nobody ever called
him
Herb?
They all called each other by their names.
He was a member of the Marx Brothers, but he made most of his money as an engineer and an inventor, didn't he?
Yes. Yes. It was an interesting story how he joined the Marx Brothers in their act because they had a mother named Minnie who was a very tough stage mother. And so the boys were playing in Texas somewhere. He had a date with an Irish girl. I guess you had to go with different nationalities as you cross over in New York. And so he was going with a friend of his to these two Irish girls home to take them out. And then all of a sudden, Minnie got a call from Gummel, who was Milton, and said, I'm leaving. I'm going to the service. So she called Zeppo and said, you have to be on the boat or a plane or whatever it was to go to Texas to fill in. So that very same night, his boyfriend got shot. And if he'd been with him, he would have been shot too.
Hmm. Well, was he called Zeppo at this point?
Yeah, he got his name from the Zeppelin. And he was born the day that the Zeppelin flew or went over Chicago, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always liked Groucho's real name. I'm sorry that they didn't call him Leonard.
Yes.
So you were married to him for 12 years. He adopted your son from Bob Oliver. Why did you ultimately break up?
I think the age difference.
One of the ways he had caught your attention was he had a bet over your legs, right?
Had what?
A bet about your
legs. Yes, yes. Yes, there was an act that we did in the Spike Jonze show. There were four showgirls and 36 dancers in the show.
And this is with Spike Jonze?
Mm-hmm.
That must have been fun because was the band as much fun as I would guess they were?
Yes. But we did one act where they had black velvet curtains and they were slits and we had our arms and legs out the curtains. And so the guys all met, all my exes met together and were watching the show. And they're all betting which one I was in the line.
But Zeppo wasn't your ex yet. But Bob was there and another boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And did Zeppo get you right?
Mm-hmm. And I said, how did you know? And he says, because you were the lowest high kicker.
Well,
that was his humor.
That's a good way to start a romance.
Mm-hmm.
My guest is Barbara Sinatra, who's written a book called Lady Blue Eyes, My Life with Frank. It is published by Crown Archetype. And we will continue our conversation after we take a little break.
Thank you.
Sing hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. The sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're going to the promised land.
We're heading across the river, wash your sins away in the tide. It's all so peaceful, all of me. Why not take all of me? Can't you see I'm no good without you? Take my lips, I want to lose them. Take my arms, I'll never use them. Your goodbye left me with eyes that cry. How can I get along without you? You took the path that once was my heart. So why not take all of me?
We're back with Barbara Ann Sinatra, who is the founder of the Barbara Sinatra Children's Center and devotes most of her personal and professional energy to numerous philanthropies. She has written a book with the help of Wendy Holden called Lady Blue Eyes, My Life with Frank. It's published by Crown Archetype. I don't know whether you were embarrassed to write about how your relationship with Frank started, but you were married to Zeppo at the time, and
yes,
you kissed your husband was in the next room.
Mm-hmm. And our marriage had been falling apart for a while, and it just to me, everything in life is timing. If the timing's right, it happens. Frank said he knew when he met me that we were going to be together, and I guess he just had a feeling that that was going to happen.
You were in Palm Springs, and you were next-door neighbors?
Mm-hmm.
But you had to go to Europe to start your affair.
Well, I guess so, but...
Were you afraid of getting caught?
No.
The morning after your first night together, the first person happened to run into was Zeppo's attorney.
That's right, Greg Bautzer.
And you were photographed with Frank in Greece.
Mm-hmm.
The picture is in the book.
Yes.
So this wasn't totally secret.
No. Well, what happened is my son was in school in Switzerland, and I was going over to see him, and the Idelsons were friends of ours. So I stayed as a house guest at their house, and Frank called from London and said that he would like to take us all to dinner. He says, bring your passports. So we all went to dinner. We went to Greece, and it was a magical time.
You tell the story of how Ava Gabor, who was one of Frank's ex-girlfriends, sought help from a therapist in Pasadena to get over him, only to discover that several of the therapist patients were there for the same thing.
Same reason.
So is he really good marriage material at this point?
I don't know. I thought it was going to be a fling.
Uh-huh.
I didn't think it would be forever.
A fling with
Frank,
your favorite singer in the world.
Yeah.
You were together for 5 years before you got married.
Mm-hmm.
What was your relationship like then?
It was fast, moving fast, and very exciting, and lots of laughs. And we had the same basic basis, and it just worked. I don't know.
So what took so long? You got married...
I don't think he wanted to be married. I finally gave him an ultimatum after about 4.5 years, I guess.
And you were married in 1976, but then you got married 2 additional times.
Yes, we did.
And why was that?
I don't know. It's just the glamour of the whole thing and the fact that I'd converted to Catholicism for him. And
so you needed a Catholic wedding now.
Mm-hmm.
And was his mother still alive at that point?
Yes, she was. Mm-hmm.
So that was also probably for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had a vow renewal ceremony as well.
At 20 years, yes.
You write that one of your main duties as Mrs. Sinatra was to be Frank's social director. What kind of events were you in charge of putting together?
Dinners mostly, but our dinners were never quiet. They were never small. And we could seat 24 people in our dining room. So it was full most of the time.
And he insisted that you sit in the front row at all of his concerts?
Mm-hmm.
Did he direct his songs to you?
Some of them.
Were there some that you felt particularly wonderful about?
Yes. I think my favorite song that he did was it was written by Joe Raposo, and he it was one of his favorites was written by George Harrison, and it's called Something.
Mm-hmm. Something in the Way She Was. Mm-hmm.
And then this is You Will Be My Music was one that he recorded from Joe Raposo.
He went into a 2-year retirement. Why?
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I think he just had it. He was tired, and he wanted to retire. But then it didn't last long.
And when he came out of retirement, he changed the words to some of the songs while he was performing.
But he always did that.
Uh-huh. Was this like Ella Fitzgerald? Did he forget them, or did he just suddenly hear a great ad lib?
No. He really meant it, yes. He planned it.
Now, I don't know whether it was uncomfortable for you to know that a lot of the women in the room were lusting after your husband.
No. You know, he made me feel so secure in our marriage that it didn't really bother me.
But he did insist that you learn how to shoot a gun after a series of two adoring fans became threatening.
Mm-hmm.
Did he sing around the house? I've always wondered, for example, what's it like to hear Aretha Franklin sing in the shower?
I would wonder that, too.
Uh-huh.
No, he did not. And he didn't like his music records being played either.
Really? You know, I have spoken to so many musicians who say the same thing. And first I thought it was just jazz musicians because they were upset by the choices that they had made, even though it sounds great to everybody else. But I just was speaking to Anne-Sophie Mutter earlier, great violinist, and she said it's hard for her to listen to herself on record.
Mm-hmm.
And I think pretty much every musician I have spoken to doesn't like to hear himself.
Well, I think they can pick out the little errors and mistakes, and probably none of us would hear it.
You made a decision early in your marriage to look the other way if you found out that he was cheating?
No, I really didn't make that decision. What happened is he made me feel so secure and so loved and so needed that I didn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm. And it was different than what had happened in previous marriages.
Yes.
Your husband also had a successful on-screen career. Why was he known as One-Shot Sinatra?
He was one of the most impatient men you've ever met. And he felt that he did the best reading on the first time. And the more he did it, the more dull he got.
So his two favorite words were Jack Daniels, and his two least favorite words were take two.
True.
So, but we'll talk about that short temper. Were you the one who had to diffuse tense situations?
On occasion, yes.
And then he had other people who also saw something coming and calmed him down? Or took care of the people he was yelling at?
He really didn't yell at anyone except when I noticed it the most is he would get himself up to do a show, backstage, and he would yell. But the reason he did it is to get himself up. So by the time he walked out on that stage, it was like kill.
But he also was a man who really had strong feelings and opinions. I remember when the New York Times gave one of his favorite restaurants in New York a bad review, he took out a full-page ad in the Times.
That sounds like him.
You tell a story about how his stubbornness inspired Henry Kissinger to get someone uninvited to a political summit.
Mm-hmm.
And when Henry Kissinger was here earlier, I mentioned that you were coming. He said, oh, yeah, I met her when she was married to Frank.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the story?
Well, that's about the story.
He just said he didn't want somebody to be at.
Frank said, I'm not coming if so-and-so comes. And so then we would just come to New York, and Kissinger was throwing a party in his honor, mm-hmm. a dinner party. And he lived at the River House at that time. And when Frank got the guest list, he said, no, this person cannot come or I'm not coming. Then he went in, locked himself in his room, and said, you take the rest of the calls. Needless to say, I got a few calls from Henry Kissinger. And he said, but Barbara, I cannot disinvite someone.
This is Barbara Walters, another Barbara.
Yeah.
So Frank didn't like Barbara Walters?
No.
Did he have a good reason?
Well, he felt that she made everybody cry. and he didn't approve of that.
I thought it was because she asked people, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? That would have upset me. He also had certain riders in his contracts for performances because he could be really demanding.
I never saw that.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard. But he was a perfectionist, wasn't
he? He was.
You also write about some of his hobbies, including his love for model trains. This is something I would not have associated with Frank Sinatra.
No, you wouldn't think so. But he had a room built as a train station, and he had all his model trains in there.
Are we talking about Lionels?
Mm-hmm.
The old
yes.
Lionels?
Mm-hmm.
And did he spend a lot of time sending them through the tunnels and
yes,
everything?
Yes, yes.
Well, do you think that's because I know when I was a kid, my big fantasy was to have some Lionel trains mm-hmm. because we were poor, and that was the kind of thing that rich kids got.
Yes, that's
do you
right.
think that a lot of the things that people want when they get older are the result of the feeling that they had been deprived when they were younger?
Probably. But I remember his mother once told me that she hawked something that was important to her to buy him Lionel trains.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned that he didn't sing around the house, but he must have played a lot of other people's music.
Yes.
What kind of music did he listen to?
Well, all kinds. Billie Holiday and Ella and, you know, all his favorite singers, Tony.
Tony Bennett.
Mm-hmm. And he loved music, but he didn't want his music played.
Really? He felt uncomfortable listening to his own records?
Because he felt he could have always done it better.
He didn't like the phrase, the Rat Pack.
No.
Why?
He just didn't like the sound of it. He didn't want to be a rat.
He had the reputation for being the coolest guy, and he was a wonderful dresser. Was he cool to be around?
Yes. Very warm, sweet, kind, generous. I mean, all the adjectives you can think of.
You had your own hobbies, too. You share a special love of animals, even helped Wayne Newton deliver a foal once.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have done extensive charity work. Can you tell us a bit about your main cause, the Barbara Sinatra Children's Center?
Yes, this is our 25th anniversary year, by the way. And you want me to go on?
No, I've run out of time, but I understand you'll be in conversation with Tom Santopietro at the Union Square Barnes & Noble store tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And the book is called Lady Blue Eyes, My Life with Frank. It's written by Barbara Sinatra with the help of Wendy Holden and published by Crown Archetype. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me here. I enjoyed it very much. And I've heard so many nice things about you.